This scripture reading and the following address were part of the YouTube streamed worship service from St Paul's Lutheran Church, Box Hill, Victoria, Australia, on April 21st, 2024. For more information, visit www.stpaulsboxhill.org.au.
While Peter and John were speaking to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came to them, much annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming that in Jesus there is the resurrection of the dead. So they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word believed, and they numbered about 5,000. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and ordinary men, they were amazed and recognized them as companions of Jesus. When they saw the man who had been cured standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. So they ordered them to leave the council while they discussed the matter with one another. They said, "What will we do with them? For it is obvious to all who live in Jerusalem that a notable sign has been done through them. We cannot deny it. But to keep it from spreading further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and ordered them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in God's sight to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot keep from speaking about what we have seen and heard." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, today I'm preaching on the first reading that we heard, the Acts chapter 4 passage where Peter and John stand before the Jewish High Council, the Sanhedrin, and proclaim in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, please send us your Holy Spirit. Help us to so believe and trust in your presence with us that people will know that we have been with Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Dear friends, I don't know if I'm making preaching history by comparing Jesus to a sneaky late night kebab, but I'm going to do that. On Friday night, I went to the games night that Michael Coulston organises. I'm a board gamer, I love that. And I stayed for a long time, and it was almost midnight when I was coming home, and I was really hungry. So I stopped on Maroondah Highway for a midnight kebab. It was actually really good. I got home, and my wife kind of smelled my breath and went, "You see, a sneaky kebab is not really sneaky, is it? Especially if it's loaded with garlic sauce." And she said to me, "Nathan, you know, the garlic is going to be oozing out of your pores tomorrow." You may have had a similar experience. I'd like to suggest to you that being with Jesus is like having a sneaky late night kebab, in that you can't really hide it. and that it tends to ooze out of you in a good way, in a good way. And I think that that's shown to us in the Acts chapter 4 passage today. You see, being with someone, as you would all know, is the essence of a relationship with a person. You can't really have a relationship if you're not being with someone, if you don't spend time together. And that comes through, we see how vital being with Jesus is in the Acts 4 passage. So just a quick summary, it's a long reading, I'm not reading the whole thing. Peter and John have been arrested and they've been dragged before the Sanhedrin, just as their leader Jesus was before his crucifixion. The council calls them to account for a miraculous healing of a man who had been lame in the temple. Peter and John boldly and confidently speak the name of Jesus in public. They speak of the crucified and risen one, and they declare that through him, the resurrected and living Jesus, it's in his name that this man has been healed. The council responds in this way. This is the NIV translation. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. I believe this is actually the key verse in this passage, and it's this being with Jesus that I'd like to explore with you this morning. You see, when ordinary people be with Jesus, extraordinary things happen. Peter and John are described as ordinary, unschooled men. The Greek is agrammatos idiotes. You can probably work out what the English equivalent might be for that. They're not highly educated in the Torah schools. They haven't been students of a recognized rabbi all of their life. The only thing that sets them apart is that they have a relationship with Jesus. They've been with Jesus. Being with Jesus is the essence of discipleship. Everything else flows from this. To be a disciple of Jesus is to be an ordinary person who bees with Jesus. Our English grammar fails us a little bit at this point. This life of being with Jesus is the most important thing. In Mark chapter 3, when Jesus calls his 12 apostles, it says this: Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. See, the being precedes the doing. This is true, of course, not just of the 12 apostles, but other disciples, including women as well. In Luke 8, we read this: After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. You see, these are all ordinary people, just like you and me. Ordinary people who've been with Jesus, just like you and me. To hang out, to spend time with, to converse, to banter, to waste time together, to be present to each other, to have fun and suffer together. This is what Jesus calls his disciples to do. When ordinary people be with Jesus, extraordinary things happen. It's like being marinated in the presence of Jesus. The flavour of Jesus just flows out of us, like the flavour of that sneaky late-night kebab kind of flowed out of me. In this Acts passage, here are the extraordinary things that happen. When ordinary people be with Jesus, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. When ordinary people be with Jesus, they have courage to boldly and humbly name the name of Jesus. And when ordinary people be with Jesus, they cannot help speaking about what they have seen and heard. It just flows out of them. So first of all, when ordinary people be with Jesus, they are filled with the Holy Spirit. The text says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who is lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed.'" The promise of the risen Jesus to his disciples was, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He also promised his disciples, "When you're dragged before kings and rulers, don't worry beforehand about what you'll say, for the Holy Spirit will give you words and wisdom that no one can contradict." The gift of the Holy Spirit, a living, breathing, intimate relationship with the living God, is the promise of Jesus that he pours out on all who dwell with him. We have a command in Ephesians 5:18 to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is a continuous sense. It's something that doesn't just happen once, but that keeps on happening. And it's something that happens as we be with Jesus. Second, when ordinary people be with Jesus, they have courage to boldly and humbly name the name of Jesus, even in public space. Notice that Peter and John in this passage from Acts are both bold and humble. They speak about Jesus because they have been asked about the visible effects of the risen Jesus in their lives. In this case, the healing of the lame man. They're being questioned about their lives. People have noticed something about them. Australian author and evangelist Michael Frost says that we as Christians lead questionable lives, and that at some point people will question us about why our lives are different. And this is the opportunity to speak out boldly in the name of Jesus, to name the name in your relationships. It can be as simple as offering to pray for someone who shared their pain or hurt with you. It can be as simple as mentioning that you went to church on the weekend, or offering to read the Bible with someone one-on-one. At this point, I want to voice an objection. What about when you're not bold? What about when you're fearful to speak the name of Jesus? I doubt there's a single one of us present, myself included, who hasn't felt some shame or guilt at some point in our Christian life over our lack of boldness to speak the name of Jesus. It's easy to hear this point as, if you're a Christian, you should be bold and you should be an evangelist, and you've fallen short. But that's not at all what is going on here. So let me proclaim the good news to you at this point. No one had more reason for shame and guilt about his lack of boldness than Peter himself. Remember in the courtyard of the high priest when Jesus was arrested, Peter was terrified of a simple servant girl who said to him, "Weren't you with Jesus of Nazareth?" And Peter denied three times that he had been with Jesus. He was devastated by his cowardice and his betrayal. And yet the risen Jesus forgave Peter and said, "Feed my sheep." Peter was forgiven and restored by his risen Lord, and here he is boldly speaking and showing that he has been with Jesus. People of God, you too are forgiven by your risen Lord for those times that you have lacked courage or boldness. Hear this very clearly. Bold, humble confidence in speaking the name of Jesus is not something that you or I should do. It's not something that we do or work our way up to. Rather, it flows from being with Jesus. If you feel shame or guilt about your lack of courage to name the name of Jesus, don't try harder. Rather, be with Jesus. Receive the Holy Spirit. Marinate in his presence. Without you knowing it or realizing it, you will receive as a gift and begin to show this kind of bold and humble confidence. I want to get really practical now, if I may, and ask the question that some of you may be thinking. Pastor Nathan, this is all good and well, but what does it actually mean in my life? How do I be with Jesus? What do I have to do to be with Jesus? See the trick there? Well, believe it or not, my friends, I find this a massive challenge in my own life. In many ways, I'm a spiritual activist. I'm more like Martha than Mary. I'm constantly feeling the urge to do something for Jesus rather than be with Jesus. But Jesus keeps on insisting that being with him is more important than doing for him. And the doing flows out of the being. Being with Jesus will be somewhat unique to each of us, to our character and our life circumstances and all of that kind of thing. But I think that there are several things which are vital to our life of being with Jesus. I want to share some of them with you, not as legalisms, but as hopefully things that will resonate, that will help each of us in our life of being with Jesus. The first is scripture. Reading, dwelling in scripture, spending time with the living and active written word of God will help us to be with the incarnate word of God. Jesus says in John 15, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you will bear much fruit, and apart from me, you can do nothing." I would suggest dwelling in passages from the Gospels, placing yourself in the scene in your imagination, as well as a disciplined, regular reading of Scripture, asking the Holy Spirit to speak and to help you be with Jesus through his word. So first, scripture. Second, simply time. A relationship is impossible without time. Wasting time with Jesus, just hanging out with him in his presence. Often, I will get to the end of my prayer time where I've prayed all the things I think I should pray, and I'm getting ready to rush into the rest of my day, and I get this sense that Jesus is saying, "Nathan, we're just getting to the good bit. I just want to hang out with you. Just spend a bit of time with me." And you keep wanting to run off and do things for me. Just spend a bit of time with me. One of the most profound definitions of prayer that I've ever heard is simply this: being present to the presence of God. Being present to the presence of God. give yourself some time and simply say, Jesus, I'm here. Please let me hang out with you. So scripture, time, and the third is conversation. This includes a significant amount of listening, not just talking to Jesus or maybe talking at him, but believing his promise that he will speak with us. My sheep hear my voice, we hear today in the gospel reading. We can hear the voice of Jesus. This is his promise. I personally find that engaging my sanctified imagination, that is, imagining Jesus sitting or walking beside me and just conversing with him, is actually really helpful to me. In doing this, we imagine something that's not real, but actually rather something that is very real, because Jesus says, I will be with you always. In conversation with Jesus, I found it helpful to ask, Jesus, what do you want to say to me? Or Holy Spirit, what are you saying? And then give time to just listen, just be silent, just be present. I hope and pray that one or more of these ways of being with Jesus may resonate with you, and that the Holy Spirit will lead you deeper into being with him in the ways that are good and life-giving for you. And remember that it's always an invitation. It's never a command. It's not something we should do. It's something we get to do. The narrative of Acts chapter 4 of Peter and John before the Sanhedrin shows that ordinary people who be with Jesus are drawn into an extraordinary story. They are filled with the Spirit. They boldly and humbly speak the name of Jesus, and they cannot help speaking of what they have seen and heard. The text ends like this. Then the council called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." The presence of Jesus was simply oozing out of Peter and John. There was nothing that they could do to stop it, because they were marinated in his grace. And this is where I want to conclude as well, with a beautiful quote on mission from the missionary Leslie Newbegin. Newbegin writes, "Jesus said as he was on the way to the cross, 'Where I am, there shall my servant be.' The one who has been called and loved by the Lord, the one who wishes to love and serve the Lord, will want to be where he is. And where he is on that frontier which runs between the kingdom of God and the usurped power of the evil one. When Jesus sent out his disciples on his mission, he showed them his hands and his side. They will share in his mission as they share in his passion, as they follow him in challenging and unmasking the powers of evil. There is no other way to be with him. At the heart of mission is simply the desire to be with him and to give him the service of our lives." People of God, I bless you that you may be known as ordinary people who have been with Jesus. No hiding it. It seeps out of you. In the name of Christ. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our risen Lord. Amen.